I have a secret for you, everybody. This show might be a little bit long, but I think it's
what?
Worth it.
No.
Yeah.
No, you've refused that. You forbid that.
I know. We're trying always to keep it to 25 minutes, but there's so much good stuff in this one, especially near the end, where it's talking about the kingdom of God and how it relates to us. We just couldn't cut it. So hang in there for the end, everybody, okay?
Yeah.
Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Good morning, Cecilia.
Good morning, Pastor Dave.
How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm okay. Now, you were saying something about this intro.
Yeah, well, we were working on this a few days ago.
Yeah?
And it was something about the flipping of a coin. I mean, we had some great ideas.
Like, yes, we did. That's right.
Do you remember what that idea was all about?
Flipping of a coin.
What,
no.
You can't remember either?
No, you didn't remember?
No.
I didn't write it down. It was a good idea.
Oops. It was a great idea.
It was a wonderful idea.
It was a brilliant idea.
Oh, well, if you
idea,
listeners so... have the idea, please write us and
give us back
us
our idea.
Let us know what the flipping of the coin meant to this show, would you? Meanwhile,
what do we do now?
I guess we'll go ahead into room 4216 and study God's word. Well, here we are, Cecilia, back at room 4216, and we're going to be looking at the next part of Luke chapter 17. The verses 20 to 37, Jesus is having a long discussion about the kingdom of God. And we're not going to read this all at once. It's too much.
Oh, so yes.
We'll break it up in small sections. But again, every bit of this is about the kingdom of God. Could you read the first section, verses 20 and 21?
Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you."
I am confused here. What else is new?
Oh, cut it out.
Pharisees are saying, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me would seem like an encouragement to the Pharisees. I've always been told that Christ is with me, but that's not what he's trying to say, is it?
No, it isn't really at all. This isn't a matter of, well, first, we shouldn't bring in an encouragement in that, like, you're wanting and you're getting. First, we have to see exactly what Jesus is trying to say to the Pharisees. They had a complete misunderstanding of what the kingdom of God was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it this way. A football, I won't use a sports analogy. How about a musical? Is there some musical that you would like to go see?
Oh, I always love to see Phantom of the Opera when it comes to town.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how many times I see it. It's always slightly different, you know?
Okay. All right. And where do you go see it?
The Fox Theater. That's where it always is.
That's where it is here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's a huge, wonderful theater. Yeah. It's a specific location. You go there. This is what the Pharisees thought the kingdom of God was, a specific visible thing that you participate in, just like you would go to the Fox Theater for the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
They saw the Romans, the soldiers, They remembered David and his kingdom being in that location. They were looking for somebody to throw the Romans out and have a kingdom right there, right then, a physical location. And Jesus is saying, no, no, it's not a specific visible thing like going to Phantom of the Opera. More, it's like if you asked your G-man or your A-lady to play Phantom of the Opera. You don't, it's there.
It right is, now. Of course.
Yeah, you could do that. And so that's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is already here. It's among you. It's a spiritual thing, not an earthly location that you're going to actually view. But instead, it's God's rule in your life. It's within you. Well, let's read the next couple of verses and what Jesus says about the kingdom of God.
Verses 22 through 25. Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation."
The building block that was rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world. The building block that was rejected became the cornerstone of a whole new world.
Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
There are places in the Bible where Jesus is called the Son of God. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that he's called the Son of Man. In fact, in the hymn Beautiful Savior, it says, "Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man."
It's really the different understanding of the Jewish versus the Gentile. The Son of Man comes from the Old Testament, from Ezekiel, meaning it's going to be somebody sent by God. It's basically saying the Messiah. Son of God usually is making the reference, as in the song Beautiful Savior, truly a son of God, the Almighty. And so when Luke here, he says Son of Man, he's referring to the Messiah. There are other places in Luke that he refers to Son of God, and that's meaning that he truly is the Son of the Almighty One, which was to be emphasized versus the Messiah, the Promised One, which is a Jewish thing. But more here is the concept of the day of the Son of Man, that he was talking to the disciples, and they were right now within the day of a Son of Man. They were he was walking with the Messiah. They knew it. They said he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was pointing out that he would not always be with them, and that some will say, well, he'll pop up here or pop up there. And it's true, he did die and he did rise. And some might have said, well, there he is up in Galilee. No, Jesus is saying, first, before you go anywhere and realize anything, you have to realize the Son of Man, the purpose of his coming was to be, as it says here in this verse, rejected.
Oh.
Die on the cross. It's a thing of suffering, not of might and glory as in the Roman Empire, but one of suffering and hardship. The kingdom of God is a different thing. And because of that, even the followers need to be aware that it's different. And this thing about lightning. I don't know how familiar you are with lightning, if you've ever seen it, Cecilia.
No, I have not.
Some of our listeners will have, some have not. It's like, does it come over in that side, that side? It's like, boom, it's there. All of a sudden, it's everywhere. And you know it. It's not, we better go to 221B Baker Street to find this. No, you don't. It's everywhere. And that's what Jesus is saying. When the Son of Man returns, you will know it. It will be obvious. You don't have to go here or there to go find the Messiah, the Savior of the world. When he comes back, he will be known everywhere. And with this, Jesus is referring to a time down the road when he will come back. When he will come back. You know, Jesus warned his disciples, if a Messiah pops up here or there, don't go there. In fact, they had a little bit of that when John the Baptizer was killed. They were thinking when Jesus showed up here and there, it was just really John the Baptizer once again. Mm-hmm. And but that type of warning, we really don't have that. Be concerned about that anymore today, do we? About a Messiah.
Oh, do we not? What about Charles Manson? In 1969,
forgot
he had
about
him. Yeah, he had a following, and he told his people that he was Jesus Christ. So he told them, go out and murder these people.
Only Los Angeles. I mean, a lot of wackos live. Excuse me, Los Angeles.
Poor Los Angeles.
Wackos live in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about Jim Jones? 1978.
Oh, yeah.
He told his people that he was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Buddha, and some others.
And as I recall, when he learned the FBI was coming, he had his people all drink from a cauldron, but it was really poison.
It was, it was in Guyana in 1978.
Yeah.
They drank poison Kool-Aid.
Mm.
Over 900 people lost their lives.
True.
Yeah. David Koresh. Who can forget that one in 1993?
Oh, I remember that.
He told his people that he was Jesus Christ, and they ended up in a standoff with the FBI and ATF, and they lost their lives too.
In a school bus, as I recall.
I don't remember, but it was a compound standoff.
So I guess you are right. There was
Marshall Applewhite and the Heaven's Gate cult. And oh my gosh, I remember this one so clearly. In March of 1997. Uh-huh. And he said he was Jesus Christ or the reincarnation. And he convinced his people, intelligent people, that they needed to kill themselves so that they could be taken up in this alien spaceship.
You know, my wife listens to this a lot, and I'm sure she's going to come back and slap me on the face and say, see, you should stop watching Star Trek. Well, weird schemes and of people dying to go here and there. It sounds like a Star Trek
episode. The cult people even said, yeah, but one of the cult people I remember very clearly said 39 to beam up. So it did sound, it was Star Trek.
Oh my gosh. I didn't remember that one at all. I don't even know if I heard it. Wow. So we do have that. And we have wars and rumors of wars, and people are saying, hey, the kingdom's coming now. And hey, the kingdom's coming here. Earthquakes, famines,
pestilence.
But you know, all those things, you can look at history all the way back to Jesus. Every single century, almost every single decade of every single century has wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. Hey, at the recording of this, we just had a major
earthquake. Yeah.
A couple days ago in Turkey. I'd heard, 20,000 people died?
Something like that.
And I did think about this, that But what God is trying to say is, I'm leaving these signs to let you know you can't go on with your life merrily and think nothing's going to happen, because I'm still in control. Not a Messiah come back, but he will. And your day may be the next day.
Yeah, but he also says, don't be afraid. I'm in control. There's the hope of that too.
When we know Jesus, we know the one who's has everything in control, and we know his coming, not Applebee or Jim Jones. Jesus is coming back as a rejoicing time for us as Christians. We get to go home to heaven. Well, let's continue reading in this section, Cecilia. Again, we're reading, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God. And right now he's speaking to his disciples, giving them another nuance, something that they didn't really think of or consider. Continue at verse 26.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be lying in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left.
Well, as Jesus is speaking, he's trying to give another little twist on what the kingdom of God is. Remember, in the last section we read prior to this one, talked about lightning instantly.
Yes.
And that lightning, you had mentioned, Cecilia, that scary.
Yes, it is.
It can be. I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to get to, that it's going to scare you that when it's all of a sudden there, but more of a startle. Oh, I didn't realize it was now.
I don't like being startled.
Me either. I was walking through the kitchen the other day, I thought my wife was in the other room, and then she said, Dave, and I almost wet my pants. I mean,
oh,
it was really bad. Oh my gosh. And she giggled and laughed. And I just never expect her. I think what Jesus is trying to say, even with this, the days of Noah and the days of Lot, things are just going to be going on as usual. There's no surprise, no warning. It's just all of a sudden, boom, it will startle, but it's not a fearful thing for those who believe. That's one aspect of the kingdom he's trying to relate. But then the next thing, isn't it interesting? He says, those who are on the roof, they won't come down and get their stuff. Because the kingdom, we aren't going to need
that right there. Yeah.
Stuff. when Jesus comes again, and this is talking about, he's really flowing. First, the question by the Pharisees was, is it here? Is it there? They're thinking something local. He says, no, it's God's rule in your life. But then he shifts the conversation to with the Son of Man coming again, and that when it will be, because there are some Old Testament verses that do talk about the kingdom of God here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is trying to relate right now for us. There's the spiritual aspect of God's care and rule of mercy and kindness and grace in our life. But then there's going to be the other thing later, after Judgment Day, at the final day, when Jesus comes again, that then he is putting heaven and earth together. And that's when, if you're on the roof, you don't come down to get your stuff to then go to the kingdom, because you're not going to need that stuff. And you don't go to the kingdom. You are, boom, in the kingdom, heaven and earth.
In this case, we were talking about where he's talking to Pharisees, and he's saying the kingdom is going to be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But after he comes, it will be physical.
Correct. Yes, that's the later one. And that's in the last day of this earthly heaven. We sometimes call that Judgment Day. Yeah.
But it's after Judgment Day that we're going to experience the joy of the truly eternal physical kingdom.
Correct. That is correct. Yep. And there is this thing here also yeah, I think we'll just leave it at that. I think that's good enough said. I think you said it really good, Cecilia. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Thanks. Good. You know, these verses remind me of a song from way back.
Yeah.
Let me play just a bit of it for you.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion years ago about, and there still is too, by many people, that some Christians will be taken up in the up in the sky while things happen on earth, and then Jesus will come back later. It's the whole concept of the rapture, and mm-hmm. It does come from this verse where some are taken and some are not. That certainly is one view of Christians and how they view the end time and how they view the book of Revelation and 1 Thessalonians 4, that Jesus is breaking up the end times. I don't think, though, it's myself that's the way it's going to be. I think what this verse is trying to say is it's going to happen like, boom, in an instant. And those who are taken, yeah, there is a rapture, but there's not a breakup of time. Christians
no thousand
are taken,
years of
right. No
between times.
Yeah, we're
such.
Taken up to be with Jesus as he then descends on earth and Judgment Day.
And there's also it's also not going to be a secret. I mean, the whole rapture thing, oftentimes we hear the people going, what happened? What happened? But we're all going to know. Everyone's going to know that Jesus Christ.
On the flip side of that, when what happened, the concept is God's giving people one more chance.
Right.
And my thought, he's given us a life full of chances.
Right.
He's given earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, help all to make us realize we live in a sinful world. We better repent. We better repent. Mm-hmm. And when we do, we got a loving God on our side who is going to snap us up to be with him forever in heaven. You know, there are some unusual Bible verses in the book of Luke. We stumbled across one before, and now we're going to get one more. You're going to read it, and everyone's going to go, what the heck?
That's what Luke, I did.
Verse 37.
Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. What does this verse mean?
I had a bit of a trouble of wrapping my head around it too. First, what you're referring to about the vultures circling around?
Yes, he now, totally goes off. Yep.
The Pharisees asked, "When is the kingdom of God coming?" The disciples now asked, "Where? Where is it going to be?
Yeah.
What physical location?" They both didn't get it. So Jesus is being extremely blunt. Where is it going to be? Well, you guess what? When you see vultures or bird of prey circling, you know there's a dead body, right?
Oh, like buzzards, you mean?
Yeah. Well, you'll know where the kingdom of God is. It'll be so obvious when it really is there. You don't have to ask where it is. It'll be there. Just like the lightning flashing from the east to the west, we are going to know when he comes back and when the end time is. We don't have to ask where it is.
Oh, like we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, here is the Two of Spades. Nope. Oh, there's a five and a six. So the five goes in the six. And, oh, there's a Three of Spades. So the Two of Spades can go on that.
Playing solitaire, I'm guessing?
Yeah, one of many, many, many games. More than I'd like to admit.
You play and that quite a bit, don't you?
I do. Seems like about all there is to do outside of the podcast, of course, but just nothing much in my life.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I was thinking about that during our break before we came back to record. Yes, people, right. We do sometimes take breaks in between the segments.
Yes, we do.
Get hungry, but and I'm sorry.
It's near lunch.
Yeah. Sometimes people do get frustrated with their life. That it's especially people who are blind, that you're doing the same old, there's not much. Life can be
solitaire
boring.
And YouTube.
But you know, I bet there's a lot of our listeners out there who aren't blind, and we have quite a few now who are sighted, and they'll go, hey, you're speaking about me too, because I can't go anywhere. I can't do stuff.
No. No. Mm-hmm.
And I want to suggest in some ways we have a misunderstanding of the kingdom of God when we look at life this way.
Oh really?
Yep. Now the Pharisees, they thought, when is it coming? They were expecting a kingdom to come like King David and everything would be great and glorious and they would push out the Romans.
Right.
The disciples kind of thought that, but they figured something else. And so they asked, you know, where is it going to be? They were looking for a location. And
right.
And sometimes we think, too, where and when is God going to be? But do you realize where and when is now and here? Well, and that because the kingdom of God is now and here, and the reason I say it's now and here is because Jesus took our punishment on the cross. We say that.
Right.
Because he destroyed the power of sin, death, and the devil. When he rose from the dead, he is victorious. And he lives in our lives.
I know that Christ is with me all the time.
And if there wasn't something special about his kingdom, zap, boom, we'd be in heaven right now. But there's something else going on. I'm not saying you can't be bored, can't be frustrated, but I wonder if we think that there should be something bigger and more special with life, if we're missing the fact that we're in God's kingdom right now, and he's trying to work through us right now. And it might be a simple mundane thing. In fact, I can think of many times when it happens. In fact, a listener who was listening early in the years of our podcast stopped listening. Believe it or not, Bill just called me up today. Today. I said, I remember you, Bill. Sure, I remember you. And he said, oh, your podcast helped me through those tough times. And I'm so glad that you're still at the same phone number. And yeah, here's my new email address. Send me the podcast.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
I kid you not, people. He just is telling me about this.
Yep. Bill C.
Hi, Bill.
I don't want to say his last name. And when I heard that, it's like, oh, that doing that podcast years ago helped him. Wow.
Oh,
and he told me more about the time and it helped him. And I just thought it was just, you know, another podcast, just another thing or whatever. That's the way it is a lot of times with a lot of us. What we think is mundane and blah, God works and weaves into his world to bring us in connection with people, to help them, to bless them, to share that news of Jesus with them, sometimes for the first time. And sometimes it's just and give a hug to a Christian who's having a difficult time.
So so how does solitaire help bring meaning to someone else?
It is just the interlude between the times that God is using you in his special way. And so you can go, okay, God, you got nothing for me today, no mission assignment, then I'll play solitaire. And know that he's got another mission in you to do something more, something special. But you better be ready. And when you are looking, you'll be ready. He'll work through you. And your life will have great meaning and purpose to others. Not all the day, every day, but your life will. Now, here's a secret that I suppose we should let our listeners know.
Yeah,
sometimes the recording of these podcasts span several days. Oh. And this one actually spans a whole week.
Well, that was your fault.
Well, okay. So, Cecilia, do you remember what the flipping of the coin was all about?
It's meaningless. Just like some people say life is. Now, wait a minute. No, it wasn't meaningless at the time.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was a good, like you said before, it was a good idea. But maybe we'll come up, like we said, maybe our listeners will come up with the idea.
Yeah, please. If you got an idea what the flipping of the coin would have to do with the Bible, please let us know. You can do so by writing us at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not, dash
N-O-T,
alone.
Dash A-L-O, A-L-O-N-E, that's it, yeah.
Dot.
N-E-T.
Thank you.
And remember,
we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. The Building Block, Noel Paul Stuckey. I Wish We'd All Been Ready, Larry Norman. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn.